But if you're giving out love, and you're open to receiving love, then if you start giving out more love than you're receiving, what you're going to start is bringing more people into your life. They'll start coming into your life. The universe will compensate. And you'll start having to get love according to the degree that you do love. Yeah, no. Okay, let's do that now. The fourth power. The fourth power of manifesting is where we get into the uncommon human. And this is attraction. And I say uncommon human in terms of using this consciously. Oh, some don't use it quite consciously, but they have it. The power of attraction. Let me put this down, okay? We've got acceptance. Too many E's in there. We've got seeking. We've got compensation. See, these are visual aids. You're going to retain it better by seeing it up there. Compensation and attraction. If you can read it. Okay. We did at the beginning of this an exercise in your aura. Okay. Everybody has an aura. And this aura is the kind of the medium between you and the world, if you like. And all of your thoughts go out from your subconscious as energy and are broadcasting in this aura. All of your energy is not just inside of you, but it's constantly broadcasting out to the world. And you out in this aura is something like an electromagnetic field. It actually has electromagnetic properties and has a lot of other kinds as well. And all the telepathy from the world is coming in, and all the senses and everything like that too, the sensory experience is coming in through your aura as well. Now, what starts to happen in this level of attraction is, first of all, in a sense, everybody has some attraction going on, because what's attracted to you in your life will depend on what kind of thoughts are going out. But now we're talking about this as a real attraction. We're talking about what's usually called a magnetic attraction. We're talking about something often called charisma. Okay? And this depends on the energy that's in this aura, okay, and the kinds of thoughts that are charging or programming that energy. There are people who rise to prominence in, let's say, the movie industry. And boy, people just suddenly they take off and they really think this is a terrific person and everybody's attracted to them and they fight over them and their names are all over the place and you see their pictures every place. And these persons have great charisma, a powerful, attractive aura. And often they don't know why or how. Okay? I'm going to tell you. But often the people who have them don't know why or how. What happens at a certain point, they're attracting all kinds of stuff and all kinds of people. And at a certain point, all kinds of kooks. But they're not attracting the kooks unless they've got other stuff that they're in their aura. See, if they've got a powerful charisma, all that attention of everybody else adds to that power. Right? And that power increases of attraction. And then all more people get attracted and more energy increases. And every thought and emotion of that person gets magnified by that energy. And if they've got any fears, then those fears will be magnified. Okay? And they will attract some very strange stuff through those fears. And so all the good and bad qualities of that person will be magnified. And all kinds of people will hear about it. Okay? In a kind of a society where you have that kind of news media. Okay? But everything will be magnified, and so more attention, more energy, more attention, more energy. What sometimes happens is the person says, hold it, stop. I don't like this anymore. And then they fade out of sight. Their picture starts fading from the newspapers and from the magazines. You start hearing less and less of them. And finally you wonder, well, gee, whatever happened to so-and-so? What happened is they turned off the power. Let's talk about one of the ways, important ways, in which that power gets generated. Right? One of the ways in which this energy gets really potent and really starts to generate is when you start to focus your attention. When you focus your attention on a place that you're going to, on a purpose that you have in mind, that you have. Let's say, for instance, with movie stars, I want to be a great actress, you know. I'm thinking, you know, Farrah Fawcett is one that comes to mind like this, okay? I want to be an actress, she says. Okay? And she has a strong desire for that. And she starts taking action toward it. Oh, now that's potent. First of all is the desire. And you get a little bit of energy with that, and that's good. Then comes taking action, which is more focus. And the more focus, and the more focus, and the more desire, and the more desire, the energy and the aura expands and grows and intensifies. And the more a person believes in themselves, that they can, that they're worth it, you know, all of these things are operating here at this point. They're open to receiving. The increase in that energy really gets big, and things start to happen. They start to roll. There's tremendous power and concentration and intensification in purpose. You don't find very many people with a good, strong charisma, a magnetic personality, who don't have a sense of purpose. The two don't go together. But when there's a sense of purpose, wow, you have this strong magnetism. And it doesn't matter what the purpose is. It can be good or bad. It is one of the effects of energy. A strong purpose increases the strength and intensity of the aura. And that has a magnetic effect on other people and events. So they have this strong purpose and they're going along, and then someday they don't like the effects that they're getting. Too much attention from the news media, let's say, she's getting. Too much, you know, not enough privacy. Life is falling apart because all the fears about relationships are coming and being magnified. And things aren't working. She says, I've had enough of this. Changes the idea about the purpose. Down goes the energy level. Fewer people start calling. Fewer people start paying attention. Fewer people start going to the movies. Suddenly it's all fading out and the person goes into the background. Now sometimes, looking at the world, these kinds of people, see what happens. Sometimes you fade into the background, and then they finish, and they never see them again, ever. They're living quiet lives and doing whatever their things at the level of most other people. But sometimes they get back to that level and say, gee, I missed the excitement. Gee, that wasn't so bad after all. I think I could handle that now. Let's go for it again. And they get their purpose revved up and come back trail. Okay? You start hearing about them again, and they start bringing out the publicity, and they start making a new movie. Frank Sinatra did that, okay, several times. You know, there was a period where he went faded totally out of sight, and then he came back with a rush and has never stopped. He did some inner programming at some time to make it the way he wanted it to be second time around. Okay? Well, Farrah's coming back too, you know, making it back, and some other people, they decide they like it and that they can do it, and they rev up their purpose again. In your life, this idea of purpose is very, very important. And it doesn't have to be an earth-shaking, earth-shattering, tremendous purpose, you know, that's going to change the world. It doesn't have to be that. If you got one, okay, but it doesn't have to be. Okay? A purpose in your life, some reason for living, something that a purpose. We'll talk more about this a little later as to what a purpose is and the difference between a purpose and a goal. That's for later on. But right now, the idea of having something that gives your life powerful meaning. And that's a little stronger than I want to help people. Okay, you can think about your purposes and we'll take a little break. Get up, stretch, move around. About 5 minutes or so. The idea of attraction and this power that's in the aura here. A couple more things I want to bring up, some of which were brought up in questions. This charismatic, magnetic, attractive powerful field that can be developed and is developed by some people, as I say, sometimes without quite knowing what's happening and sometimes on purpose. What can happen is when this starts to build up, there can come a certain point in life, and this often happens. Somebody mentioned about teenage years, but yes, I know that too, and it often comes up. When it starts to come up in contrast to early teachings, that deep inside of you, there's a nasty little being, okay? Just waiting to get out and wreak havoc on the world, okay? And there are religions and philosophies that teach that concept. Well, now here, suddenly you become aware of power. You start to have desire, you start to have the feelings, wow, I can do this, but, you know, what if I misuse it? And you start to play a what-if game, and you get real scared of what might happen, and you don't want to be bad, and so you shut it down. And there's this tremendous potential that you start to experience at one point, and you never develop it. Okay? Until somebody called Sage King comes along and says, it's okay, you know, you're all right, and then you can let it free and loose and do something with it. There's nothing evil inside of you. Human, you know, Jesus said that. You know, he came out with it. He had a lot of, you know, good ideas. You know, he had a lot of tremendous, powerful ideas. And most of the kinds of knowledge that I'm talking about with the ways of creating your reality are also found in his teachings, if you look for them. But he said, there's, you know, it's not what goes into a person. It's what comes out of them, you know, that matters. And he's not talking about the soul or anything like that. He's saying that deep inside of there, you are part of God and you're loved by the universe. And if you're part of God, you are good. There's no getting around that. If God is infinite and you're part of that infinity, then you've got to be good. There's no way of getting around that. You can go back to the Old Testament just for a little bit of that kind of backup, and it says, and God created man and he saw that it was good. Right there. Okay? Says so. But even apart from that, you can look into your own self and know that there's ideas and boy and angers and stuff that you'd think, boy, if I had that person, I'd throttle them, and stuff like that that goes on in your mind. But you can also realize that if you really had the opportunity, you probably wouldn't do it. Okay? Maybe sometimes there's so much anger that you think you really would. But that's anger. That's not you. That's not the basic, deep you. There's no evil being in there. There are evil people, and they're all evil out of fear. They're afraid of something, that's all. And fear is an unnatural emotion. Yes?
Can I ask, where did the concept of original sin that we're bad come from then?
Oh, some human being decided that we were bad. Okay? That's right. Some human being decide that they saw all the bad things that were happening. They say the only way this could possibly be happening is because people are intrinsically evil. I mean, it might have had a bad day. It might have been during the middle of a war when a lot of terrible things were happening. But they looked around and made an interpretation of events and said, this must mean that people are bad. And so then they proceeded from there. Maybe so, but sometimes some very honest and sincere people did that to develop a beautiful philosophical system. Confucianism, which is a powerful system of establishing relationships with yourself and the universe, is based on the premise that human beings are evil. And you've got to impose all these laws and restrictions and everything to keep them in line. Now, some beautiful things in Confucianism, some great philosophical truths and good stuff, but it's based on that kind of premise. And as long as you are, you're always going to have to watch out. And if you believe that you're intrinsically evil, you're going to have to watch out for any power that you put out there. Yes?
What are other reasons for being afraid of using power other than misusing?
The other reason that I know of is a powerful one also, and that's that the gods will get you. You'll be punished. There's an old Greek idea that's permeated a lot of Western civilization as well, and it probably goes back beyond the Greeks. It is that if you're too prominent, if you're too outstanding, the gods are going to slap you down because they'll be jealous. Right? I had to grow up with that one. I grew up in an Italian family, but well, that was part of it. Watch out, the gods are jealous. Okay? Don't be too outstanding.
That's right. Well, yes, if we can maintain that level, the universe will rise up, but in the process of who might the universe trying to take you down? The
universe isn't trying to take you down at all. Your own beliefs are.
But it would seem that way, right? So
it can seem that way. That's right. There can seem that way. That's right. It could also, when you rise up to prominence, other people notice you and they might try to bring you down. But only if you have beliefs that they will. See? There's a lot of people who have risen up to great prominence and everybody supported them and loved them. And there's other people who rose up to prominence and everybody tried to tear them down. Your beliefs about life and about yourself that determine the effects of what actually happens. Your beliefs are the filters through which experience takes place. And if you don't have a belief, if you believe that people are going to do that or that this is a dangerous world, this is one of the most common human beliefs, this is a dangerous world. I think Regan has actually said that. And if that common belief, you will act as if it's a dangerous world and you will create a dangerous world. You will experience a dangerous world, you will attract a dangerous world. And if you don't believe it's a dangerous world, you won't have any of that experience. There was a friend of mine who was telling me about a girl he knew in New York. And this girl, this was during the 60s, and this girl she wore this, flimsy, one of those nice, floating, loving kind of things. She wore this flimsy little sort of a robe kind of thing and wandered through the streets of the worst part of New York. And this friend, he used to warn her. He said, what are you doing going through? That's dangerous. You'll get raped, mugged, terrible things will happen. She says, no, my aura will protect me. And she'd wander through blissfully and she'd meet these, these rough characters and they'd say, hi, how you doing today? It's good to see you, Angel. And she'd say, hi, how are you? And she'd smile and go on and they'd back out of the way and move out of the way and no one would bother her. She was able to move through the worst kind of territory without a problem. Whereas somebody else driving through might be stoned and their car bombed, right? It is your beliefs about yourself and about life that serve as the greatest in terms of attracting events and people and how those people act toward you. Right? Your beliefs are what do that. What I want to help you establish here are some real positive beliefs about yourself, so that when you build up this power in your aura, you got nice things happening. And so part of this is, and part of the thing we did with that power, I've got the power to do it and the right and the desire, was to become aware of beliefs about yourself. And the more you become aware of these and the beliefs that you don't like, you can change those beliefs. You're not stuck with them. We'll do some other ways talking about changing those. Because the world is what you think it is. And beliefs are not, in terms of your beliefs about yourself and about life, they're not sacred. Okay? You can change them. Doesn't matter who gave them to you or where you got them from. You can change them if you want to. And when you do, you get different effects. Anytime you do have a change in your life and start attracting different things, it is because you've changed your beliefs. Okay? You've changed your beliefs about yourself or about life, and different things start to happen in your life. There's a lot of people here undergoing some big transitions right now in their life. And this is a time, a real powerful time of transition. Just as a little aside, we're talking about energy here. The Earth is moving through a particularly intense field of cosmic energy, if you like. Out there in the universe, there is kind of like these waves of cosmic energy, and we're passing through a real strong wave that's going to be going on for a while, and it tends to intensify everything that's happening according to your belief system. Okay? And what happens is if you've got some beliefs that are getting ready to change, and you say, and you decide to change them, now is a time where they really change. Things really start happening because there's so much energy available. It's the intensity of the energy that determines the intensity of the change. So these people with a powerful charisma, they have powerful events happen around them, involving lots of people, and lots of things like that. People with a nice charisma and just a little bit of energy get a little bit of events, okay? Not very exciting things happen. Okay? So the intensity and the power of the energy How much energy there is that you're putting out really determines the degree or level or greatness of the events affecting your life. And we'll learn how to build up that energy more. Okay, but this one about attraction, this magnetism, is carried out by purpose and conviction and desire. The fifth power, now this was the uncommon human. The fifth power is, we're going to call it inheritance. And this is where we get into the realm of the metaphysical human, as I call it. Now, when we're looking out in the world, we see inheritance. We see that some people are born into families that already have wealth, for instance. And so they inherit that wealth, and they live with that, and it's a natural thing for them. They have a right to it. They don't question it. We see people who are born into families that have a lot of love, and they tend to be loving people, and they don't think twice about it. Well, of course, you know, they've inherited, and this is their right, and they know it. You have the opposite happen too. You have families, people born into families that have a lot of hate and terror, and that's the way things are. Okay? And they tend to have that in their life, except that most of those people, like a lot of you too, are moving out of that kind of area into a new realm. Now, if you didn't have goodness in you, you wouldn't even have the urge to move. You see? Love is such a powerful force in the world that's what stimulates you. Wait a second, this isn't good. There's got to be something better. You couldn't conceive of something better unless that was part of your natural self. There's an under indication that there's a basic goodness in there that we're all trying to clear away the garbage from and experience. But in this level of inheritance, it really has to do with knowing or claiming or feeling that you have the right to and experiencing that you have the right to something. Now, I call it metaphysical because now we're talking about people who put this to use on purpose. And in metaphysics, this is what you learn how to do. Various kinds of new thought religions are the ones who are teaching this, and some great and beautiful teachings there, you know, religious science and unity and science of mind and things like that. And they teach you to declare and claim what's rightfully yours. That you are a child of the universe, that you have a right to the abundance of the universe, to the love and the happiness and all the good things of the universe. And you declare it and you claim it and you say, this is mine and I give thanks for this. And they teach you how to do kind of like affirmations of this and teach you how to move into a state of gratitude and how to move into a state of, you know, I declare it and it is so. Now what's happening, actually, I want you to know, in doing this, in getting into this level and starting to operate here, you are convincing your subconscious that something is true. You are assuming that the universal abundance is there, you have a right to it, and now all you have to do is convince your subconscious that you can have it. You don't have to convince God. Reverend Ike, and I've mentioned this to a couple of people, Reverend Ike had a great thing, if you've heard of him, where somebody was telling him he was praying to God for a Cadillac. And he said, you don't have to pray to God for a Cadillac. God and man have already created all the Cadillacs you need. Detroit is full of them. They're praying for you to get them. Okay? All you have to do is convince your subconscious you can have it. Okay? And that's what it is. Okay? This level of metaphysics, all you have to do is convince yourself it's okay, it's possible, you can do it. And you do this by this kind of declaration. Some people call this a form of prayer in some of these things, affirmations and prayers. But a lot of people have a mistaken notion of prayer. They think of prayer as pleading or begging or asking for something. And really, you know, if the Bible is a book that's got a lot of prayers in it, and I don't think there's any prayers like that in the Bible. Okay? If you look at some of them in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, let's say, for instance, let's take the 23rd Psalm. Okay? What does it say? It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Okay? That is a statement of fact. Okay? And it says, he protects me. He leads me through the valley of evil, I shall fear no evil. Through the valley of death, I shall fear no evil. Okay? And he states that as fact. Okay? And he says in there, he talks about my cup runneth over. And he talks about all the tables laid out there before me. And everything is made as a statement of fact. There's no, please God, do this for me. That's a level of inheritance there. Hey, this is what is. Okay. And in the Lord's Prayer, also, I would tell, what does it say? Okay. After giving respect and acknowledgement there, what does he say? Okay. Give me this day my daily bread. That's what you do when you feel that you have a right to it and a claim on it as a child of God, as for inheritance. Now that's the level that we're talking about. Now you don't have to do it from a religious angle, but in those powerful books where they were taught and teaching how to manifest reality also, statements of fact or direct claims. Okay? And this is what we get into when we get into this metaphysical level. So if you're getting into, you're trying to create prosperity, happiness, and health, and love, and all these things in your life, and if you're saying, please God, bring me the happiness, bring me the, do this for me, please, 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 you're not going to get anything. Not very much. Sometimes, now, I have to change that, if there is enough intensity of energy, you will create an attractive force that will bring in an event. Okay? But it's nothing like moving into the space of creating that powerful energy, okay, of purpose, and creating that powerful aura, and then within that saying, I have it. Thanks. It is mine. I have happiness, and I have peace, and I have love, and I have all of these good things. These exist. Thank you. You're convincing the subconscious that you've got it. That's altering the belief system, this kind of structure that allows the events to manifest in your life. Okay. All right. In this sense here, you think that the universe does owe you a living. Not the world. We think of the world as the world of human beings. They don't owe you a living. They don't owe you a thing. But the universe does. As a child of the universe, you've got a right to it. But you've got to claim it. It's like there's another one that Ike used. Okay? You can go to the ocean with a bucket. Or you can go to the ocean with a great, big, vast tub, as big as you can conceive. The ocean doesn't care. The universe doesn't care how much you ask for or how much you claim, because its supply is infinite. It's supply of love. It's supply of good people. I know some people, they are afraid they're with, let's say, in a relationship, okay, and they've got somebody and it isn't working out and they're trying to cling on to it, and they're mainly trying to cling on to it because they're afraid they'll never meet anybody else out there like this. And even though they can't stand them, they don't get along with them. Okay? If they lose them, they're alone completely. This is an abundant universe. And if there is nobody out there in the moment, ideally for you, but you let go and you claim your right to it, the universe will create them out of dust and bring them to you. Okay? Pull it in from another probability. Bring them off another planet if necessary. You've got a right to it. The universe is abundant. Okay? It's abundant in everything. And so you've got a right to claim. Now you don't have to demand, okay, because the people who start getting into demanding are really working from an underlying basis of fear, okay, that they won't get it. Okay? It's just in this level of inheritance, it's like you inherited it. Of course it's mine. But you got to claim it. And you claim it by putting your attention on it and declaring it so and not allowing yourself to waver from that. What happens if you get a doubt? Don't fight the doubt. Don't be afraid of the doubt. Oh my God, there's a doubt. Okay? That's all right. It's not important. As soon as you call it not important and treat it as not important, it will have no power. You know how you feel when somebody calls you not important. Okay? You feel powerless. You feel helpless. Okay? while you make these other, these doubts and these things like that, that are within your system, totally powerless. By declaring they're not important. Here again, you get into your declaration. This is the way it is. That's not in my way. Some of the people, you're in Christian Science and things like this, they teach you how to do various levels of this. Lots of ways people have discovered this metaphysical level. You either deny something or you declare it as so. And as a thing here, I want to let you know, some people have said, well, you know, don't say no. Okay? If you say the word no, or you say, I don't have this, or this is not true in my life, why, the subconscious only hears the other part. It doesn't. Let's say I do not have this disease. All the subconscious hears is, I have this disease. It doesn't hear the no. Some of you may have heard that. Okay, that's balderdash, which means it's not so. Okay. The subconscious hears everything. Everything, including the intent behind what you say. And so if you're getting negative results by saying, you know, I don't have this illness or I don't have this situation, it's because you're conjuring up pictures of the situation at the same time. Okay? So the subconscious, of course, it hears what you say, but it also sees the pictures. Okay? And whichever one has the most intensity of energy is the one it's going to go with. And so if those pictures are generating fear, there's a lot of energy in fear, and that's what it'll tend to go with. And your statement won't have the effect that you want. Okay? But I know a person who decided to use, he created his own kind of form of self-hypnosis, and he had a radical statement, and it's a good kind of thing, and we'll use it in something later on. His radical statement was, he had asthma all his life. Nothing anybody could do for him worked. So he tried different forms of self-hypnosis, and they were just not powerful enough. So he created his own form, and it started out with a statement like this: I do not have asthma. I never have had asthma. I never will have asthma. Now, a lot of people would say, well, that's not true. I'm not talking about truth here, you know. We're talking about giving a direction to the subconscious that it begins to believe so that it will be true. And in 6 months, it was true. Okay? He did that daily, religiously, all the time, and in 6 months, his asthma was totally gone. There was no trace of it whatsoever in his body. And he did that through denial. Okay? Powerful denial that worked. But in this world, because you also probably can think of stories where people have prayed over a person, denying that they had some illness, but they finally did die, even they didn't get them to the hospital in time. You find some things like this. What happened? They were really denying it. They really believed. We do not operate alone on this planet. We operate in a sea of beliefs. And in the sea of beliefs that we operate in, there's a certain kind of critical mass of belief that determines what is and isn't possible at any particular time in life. And we've talked before about, and some of you heard about, the 100th monkey effect. It's this kind of thing. It operates both ways, positive and negative. And if you're trying to create something that there's too many people don't believe it, you won't be able to manifest it. So you better go to a doctor. Okay? In the Huna teaching, when we're talking about, you know, illness and we're talking about all this kind of stuff, we say, use what works. If that takes a doctor, use it. If it's the mind work, use it all. You know, you want to take an aspirin, take an aspirin. That's okay. There's no, you know, you're not going to, God's not going to get angry if you take an aspirin. Use what works. The idea is to get well.